Welcome again to That's History. I'm Chris Cetullo here with Jonathan Zimmerman of New York University, where he is an historian. And what we do in That's History is we look at current events and find echoes, parallels, and relevance from the past. And Jonathan, our topic today is academic freedom, commencement addresses, and controversy. I want to sort of throw you a curveball at the top and show off some of what I remember from when I was at college. Most people who studied English remember something about Aristotle's theory of tragedy, which is, you know, you have the central figure who has the fatal flaw, usually pride or hubris. But the German philosopher Hegel had another theory of tragedy, which I always found a little more meaningful, and it sort of pertains to what we're going to talk about today, which is the idea that tragedy comes when you have two admirable values that come into conflict, painful conflict, which people can't resolve. At Brandeis University and at Rutgers University, we have that kind of conflict happening over commencement addresses.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, in the case of Brandeis with Ayaan Hirsi Ali, who's a famous spokeswoman for women's rights in the Muslim world, but also somebody who's made extremely controversial and to many offensive comments about Islam, she was initially invited to give a commencement address and to receive an honorary degree, and Brandeis revoked it after protest against her. And in the case of Condi Rice, she was scheduled to speak at the Rutgers graduation and also receive an honorary degree. And there was lots of protests, mainly focused on her role in the American invasion of Iraq. And she actually stepped down voluntarily, saying that she didn't want to mar the event with controversy.
And these current events had you as an historian looking back to the post-war period in America.
Yeah, the post-war period when people who were communists and also some people who were just liberals who were opposed to attacks on communists, they too were disinvited from many events. So if you look at American campuses all over this country, you find that at my own school, New York University, Howard Fast, who was a known communist and a novelist, he was disinvited. You know, he was barred from speaking. So were many other members of the Communist Party. But I think it's also important to note that people who McCarthy has called fellow travelers, like Pearl Buck, the novelist, Kerry McWilliams, the editor of The Nation. These are the kind of people who were scheduled to speak at campus events, including graduations, and there was protest against them, and either they were barred or they stepped out.
Okay, from the vantage point of history, it's sort of easy to look back to the post-World War II period. I should clarify that because, you know, it seems we're always in a post-war period in the United States. And say, oh, well, McCarthyism and, you know, communist witch hunts, that's terrible. But how does that really connect forward to making a stand in Brandeis's case against someone who makes a sweeping and probably unfair indictment of a religion, or in Rutgers' case, someone who was certainly a proponent of and involved in the conduct of a war that many people found illegal and tragic?
Well, here's where I think the connection is. People who were communists, like Howard Fast, made a lot of statements often that were offensive and sometimes erroneous. Some of them were really stooges for the Soviet Union and apologized for all kinds of awful, murderous behavior that occurred in the Soviet Union, and a very small handful of them were themselves spies for the Soviet Union. You know, communists, well, they were, to use a very loaded term, controversial figures. They were people that created a great deal of animus and antagonism, but that was precisely the reason, I would argue, why it was a mistake to bar them. Because they also had important things to say, not always correct things, but important critiques of American both domestic and foreign policy. And I would say the same thing about these two figures, Ali and Rice. I understand why people are offended by them, but I do not understand why they would argue from that offense to simply barring them from campus.
Well, what about the argument that was certainly made in the case of Condoleezza Rice, I'm not sure about the case at Brandeis, that it's not just inviting them on campus to speak on a Friday night for whoever wants to come, but you're putting them in a place of significant honor as a commencement speaker, giving them an honorary degree. You're basically saying to this class of graduating seniors, this is someone to look up to listen to heed, to emulate.
Well, I would say somebody to listen to, yes, but not those other verbs. I think when you select a speaker, you're not necessarily saying that they're a model, and you're certainly not saying that their ideas are correct or even valid. What you're saying is they have ideas that are important and are worth hearing and thinking about. And I think that was the case with communist speakers, and I think it's the case with these two women as well.
That's Jonathan Zimmerman, historian of New York University, and this has been That's History. Thank you, as always, Jonathan.
Thanks. It was fun.